and 22 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of March, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family, broadcasting in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. Sir Rick Emerson's show, 503-733-2970. It is Friday, March 17th. And at the end of our first week here, our first full broadcasting week back on the air after a prolonged 11-month absence, a hiatus, a sabbatical from the Portland Airways. Glad to be back. Thank you. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you want. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. The processing on this microphone, by the way, is exemplary. It's fantastic.
As is this one.
It makes me want to talk like Rod Serling. It makes me want to get right up on it and give it a whole lot of... Did he fire six shots or only five?
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
It really is great.
I feel like old man when I use this microphone. 503-733-2970. It is Friday. A whole bunch of stuff coming up today. Yesterday we had Jen Lane back in the studio. Best not to dwell on that. Coming up today, Scott Daly from FilmFever.org is going to be here. Coming in later in the 2 o'clock hour to talk about all things film-oriented. Because there's so much... 11 months... I mean, really, I don't want to dwell. Well, that's a lie. I do want to dwell, but I shan't. But I will say this about that. Of all of those moments, of all of those things in the 11 months where I felt like really the universe was just effing with me, I felt like God, sweet Jehovah above, was just putting the screws to me, was when we weren't on during Revenge of the Sith. And that was really, I got to tell you, I didn't have a lot of what my wife would call hard days. You know what I mean? Yeah, those days, some days where life is fine, and then there's other days, especially when you're unemployed. You know what I mean?
Too much stuff in this T-bowl. What can I delete today?
You know, some of those days where you wake up and it's like your feet barely hit the floor and you want to start reaching for the bottle. You know what I mean? You just want to draw the blinds and take some Seconal and cry yourself, you know, to sleep in a crumpled heap in the middle of the living room. I only had like two of those. But one was the week that Revenge of the Sith came out. And I really felt like that was just God's colossal joke on me. That of all the radio stations, in all the cities in all the world, of all the radio shows in all of God's green freaking creation, that we were not on the air when Revenge of the Sith came out is just a tragedy of irreducible proportions.
The wilderness months.
No, it's just... You know, whatever. Didn't get to talk about King Kong. Didn't get to talk about Munich. I could give an F. Doesn't matter.
They were forgettable.
Wasn't able to talk about Star Wars. Just the worst. And whatever. So, we will do like 30 seconds of that when Scott Daly gets on. So I can pretend that it happened. That's going to be a coming up later on today. Because it's been too long since we had any hate mail, today we'll be counting down the top five most influential metal albums of all time. That's coming up probably in the second hour of the show, 1 o'clock hour. Top five most influential metal albums of all time. Let the seething begin now. We'll get to the Rick Emerson news pile. I'm making a vow. If I had a Cuddy thing, if I was five, we'd be doing a blood oath. Like in Stand By Me. I'd be making some sort of a holy sacred bond and sealing it in my own precious bodily essence. That I'm not going to get behind here. I'm not going to let what happened. Because we got the whole getting behind on the news thing started, of course, the very minute I turned on a microphone 19 years ago. And it's never abated. But then at Entercom, I had this, the best laid plans of mice and Entercom employees. I had this plan where at the end of every year, I was going to take the news we hadn't gotten to and we were going to burn it in a solemn ceremony out front. And then I was going to seal it in an urn and put it on my desk. I didn't get a chance to do that because they fired me. Things aren't going to get that far. We're going to get to the news pile today, and just going to do quick hits on crap I haven't gotten to. Here's a fantastic thing coming up you're not going to want to miss. Clown Watch. Because since we've been back, we've had, Cannibal Watch, Penis Watch, Geek Watch, all that. Today, Clown Watch. And he's a Mexican clown, too, so it's sort of a doubly humorous thing. And a letter. I won't say who it's from. But we have a letter today to us from Inside Intercom. I have a letter. I saw it this morning. I won't say who it's from. So you quit giving me the look. I can't. The thing is exchanging looks. We'll read it later. A letter to us.
They're quizzical looks.
Someone from...
They're still employed.
Someone. So far, it's only noon, but I mean, what are you going to do? You never really know over there. One minute you're on the air, the next minute it's Green River.
Here comes a lady with the long legs and the high heels. Who's her next target?
So, later on, we have a letter to us from inside the Entercom building. We'll read that. We're here with the lovely Sarah X. Dillon today. You're looking good. This is, are these new jeans?
No, they're old.
All right.
Thank you.
You kind of have that pleasingly rumpled look to you today.
You know, I feel a little good today.
Yeah.
I feel like I look good.
Yeah. See, not lacking in confidence.
Yeah, and I just realized I'm wearing a bright green jacket, and everyone kept commenting on my bright green jacket. And I just remembered right now it's St. Patrick's Day, so I feel like an ass.
I never wear anything. I feel like an ass, too. Tim, get me an ass.
I'll see what I can do.
Thank you. Such a bad joke.
Oh, my God.
So beneath me. I didn't wear anything green. I never wear anything green.
No, but I'm wearing too much green. I look like I did it on purpose.
But you're not.
Now, look at that jacket.
Oh, the jacket. Oh, yeah, okay.
It's like neon green.
That's like Doublemint Twin. That's like Doublemint Twin green. I never wear anything green. And, you know, the first person, you're not, do I get to pinch it? He's going to get a foot right in the junk. What are we, 10? No. The only thing worse than the person who comes up to you in the hallway at your, and I know you all work with this person too. There's two types of, and it's always that somebody got a case of the Mondays type woman. And it's one of two people who does this to you in your hallway at work. Either the, you know, corporate accounts payable, Nina speaking, that woman, just a moment, her, or, and it's, I hate to say this, but it is always a woman. Or the girl who's like the brand new hire, who's perky and wants to be everybody's friend. Every office has that girl too. So it's either the really old, the much older woman, or the really young girl. And she's always coming. She, of course, always wears like head to toe green on St. Patrick's Day because she wants to show team spirit, and because that's how they did it on the student council like 6 months ago. And she always comes up and makes the, you know, you're not wearing any green. I guess it gets pinch you, and then she sort of twitters away. So I don't wear green. And it's just that everybody's going to have to be fine with that. I'm not trying to be a curmudgeon about it. It's just the way it is.
You can borrow my jacket.
Thank you. Tim Riley is here. He's in the Johnson 970 newsroom working on the following story. It's for your edification today.
The president gets a bowl of shamrocks as American troops try to help Iraqis take their country back. A Westland teenager tells tall tales and is in trouble again. South Carolina police on the lookout for a man who had his way with young girls in an underground trailer park dungeon.
I'm sorry. That's wrong. But an underground trailer park dungeon. Yeah, that's the phrase of the week right there. Mm-hmm.
And Michael Jackson closes Neverland, but it's only temporary, lie his PR people.
Mr. Sinatra's in the best of health. He's up and around and joking with doctors. That's fantastic. Excellent. That's all coming up. And, you know, some other stuff that we may or may not get to. Plus, Gary Baumgarten's going to be from CNN Radio talking about St. Patrick's Day and all that. Ladies and gentlemen, let us delay no further. It is the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And from the city desk, would you please clear the floor and make way for Tim Riley.
Top the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Well, officers, bloodhounds, and helicopters continue searching for 47-year-old Kenneth Glenn Hinson, who was wanted for having his way with two teenage girls in an underground dungeon in South Carolina, of all places.
We're all surprised. There's some joke there about having his way, having it your way.
Mm-hmm.
At Kenneth's place, you have it his way. There's something there, but I don't know what it is. If I was funnier, I'd know what that is.
So let's talk to Tom Ganey, the chief deputy of Darlington County Sheriff's Department, as he describes this underground dungeon.
The suspect had built a outbuilding, and under the floor of the outbuilding, he had...
Wait, did he call it an outbuilding?
Yes, he did.
What exactly?
Well, it's an outside dungeon.
What are you saying?
An underground outside trailer dungeon?
Is that like...
These are South Carolina legal terms.
Is that like
apparently
a tangerine flake streamline, baby? What, pray tell, South Carolina man, is an outbuilding?
I don't know.
All buildings are outside of something.
Would it be like an outhouse?
It could be used as an outhouse.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Right. Well, whatever.
The suspect had built a outbuilding, and under the outbuilding, he had built a 4-foot-high, 5-foot-wide, 8-foot-long underground room with a secret 5-foot-wide, 8-foot-long underground room with a secret trap door.
With a what trap door?
Trap door.
I guess I should quit talking about the soundbite. Hold on.
With a secret trap door.
A secret trap door. Okay, so...
Not a public one.
Yes, not a publicly accessible trap door with a neon sign. 4 foot high.
Mm-hmm. High buildings.
And undoubtedly that building is 2-3 miles from somewhere.
Den is simpleness.
4 foot high. Now I'm doing it. 4 foot high. Mm-hmm. Eight feet long. So it's a coffin, basically. All right, and then it was outside, and then there was a trap door, and then he had there. Wait, hold on. Somebody knows what an out.
Oh, maybe it's Tom Gainey, the deputy.
Yeah. Hello. Who's this? Hi there. Rick Emerson Show. Oh, something's gone awry.
I dropped the ball.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. Okay. Hi there. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Can you hear me now? Yeah, this is Ethan.
Yeah. Okay. Ethan?
Yes.
Yeah, Ethan. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. How about yourself?
It's raining where I am. Is it raining where you are?
You know, I have no windows, so I can't tell.
Like an underground dungeon?
Are you in an outbuilding underneath a steel door?
I am, as a matter of fact.
Are you calling to help us out with this?
Yes, just a little FYI. Outbuilding is hick for a shed.
Okay. So an outhouse is hick for a toilet. This really should be a hick watch, but I don't know. It's too late. We'll do it the next time.
Yeah.
So, but an outbuilding is a shed?
Yes.
Why would you... I mean, I guess I shouldn't criticize them for trying to use multi-syllable words, but... why would you just call it a shed? It seems like those people want to keep things simple so they can say it correctly.
It would certainly seem that way, but apparently not.
Okay, so it's a shed, and then in the shed was a trap door that led to a 4 foot...
Not a public trap door.
No, it's a private trap door that led to a hole that was 4 foot high.
Kind of like the Batcave.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Ethan.
Hey, no problem.
Are you spreading the word about the show?
Absolutely.
That sounded like a lie to me.
Hey, are you screwing up at all trying to say Max? Instead of, you know, Johnson?
Not really. The only thing like that I've done is, and I didn't say the wrong phone number, I just forgot what the phone number was and I had to look over.
Not that, yeah.
I haven't said Max. I haven't said, you know, I'm pretty good with that kind of stuff, actually. I say,
you know, giving out the phone number and saying 910 instead of 970.
No, I'm saying this, I'm jinxing myself, but just always in my broadcasting, I've always been pretty good about that. I've never been one of those guys that gives out the old frequency or the old... Okay. Whatever. I've always had pretty good luck, so we'll see if that streak continues, Ethan. All right, you spread the word, all right?
Good luck with that, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Now, we're not done with Deputy Tom Gainey, Deputy Chief of Darlington County Sheriff's Department yet. He's got more ratchet jarring for us here.
He carried him into this outbuilding through the trap door and sex with Solomon inside this little area.
Sex with Solomon?
Sexually assaulted.
And sex with Solomon inside this little area.
Wait, hold on. He sexually assaulted them inside a little area.
You have to listen again.
Isn't that the only way to do it? Bada bing!
You need your Z effect back.
No, I don't have my Z here. You know, the Z's on a CD in my office. I should find it for when I do my bad.
By the way, the rural home leading to this trailer park outside of Hartsville is lined with mobile homes, many of them with bikes and tours lying in the yards. The neighborhood, which one resident describes as one big family...
One big family, literally speaking, I would imagine.
And their cousins, is about 20 miles southwest of Florence.
Florence? No, seriously, what's the name of the place?
Florence.
Oh, I thought you said Florence, F-L-O-R-T-Z. No, no. Florence, okay.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what's a Florence? You would think that people in hick southern communities would refrain from using phrases like, this neighborhood is one big family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you going to do?
One big extended family.
Yes, all right. And there you go. Incomplete chromosome. Who's Rick Emerson Show? Who's this?
Darren.
Darren, how can I help you today, sir?
I'm calling to volunteer to be your call screener.
Okay. And so what skills have you, Darren, that qualify you for this?
Well, I think I can pick up a phone and say, Rick Emerson Show, what's your name? That shouldn't be too difficult.
All right, Darren, let's not get smart. That's no way to ingratiate yourself to the program. Well, let me ask you this. Are you now, or have you ever been in radio?
I have not.
Okay, well, that's good, actually. That's a point in your favor. How old are you, Darren?
I am 38.
I'm
a delivery driver. My job is boring as hell. I just thought it'd be fun to help you out. I got the time. I got nothing
to do. Well, to be fair, the 38-year-old guy is that he is a fixture in many radio control rooms.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
No, so that's not as long. That's not. There's only two types of people getting into radio, people who are 16 and people who are like 40. Those are the two ages at which people get into radio, seemingly.
So, well, I'm not really looking to get into radio. I'm just looking to have a little fun and help you out.
All right. Well, do me a favor. Drop me an email.
I did already.
All right. Thank you. Is it Darren or Daryl?
Darren.
Darren, and we appreciate. Are you spreading the word out there as you deliver?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you deliver if you can say what kind of things?
I'm the guy who sent you that pack of seeds last year.
Oh, we should clarify right now. We're talking about they were like gardening seeds, like dandelion
exactly.
seeds. And
yeah,
stuff.
I'm the seed man.
Seed man. All right. Thank you, Darren. We appreciate it. I'll check out your email.
All right.
There you go. Okay. There you go. That's Darren. All right.
Time for the Bushwatch.
He's the president. Excellent. Resident. He's kind of in charge. We've got the whole country saying, "That's my Bush." Life is hard. That's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's happening?
It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's a mile. That's my Bush. President Bush is using St. Patrick's Day to talk about not having, fighting in Northern Ireland anymore. The centerpiece of the event is Irish Prime Minister Bertie Ahern's presentation to Bush of a bowl of shamrocks. Shamrocks, a three-leaf plant that people around the world associate with Irish people and St. Patrick's Day.
Is a shamrock the same thing as a clover?
No, it's different.
Okay.
Which makes you wonder, does the Mexican president present him with like a plate of burritos on Cinco de Mayo?
Yes, I'm sure that's what he does.
Okay. But anyway, some other things that the president's kind of ignoring. Iraqi security forces will control 75% of Iraq by the end of the summer, up from 50%, which they control now.
Control is sort of a relative term over there. Now, when they say Iraqi security forces, I never know what's going on over there. So are those the people on our side?
Yes. Yeah.
Who's,
we gave them hats and guns.
I don't understand.
So they're on our side.
Who's in charge over there?
Nobody, really.
So Iraqi security forces, this is like the security forces at Newberry's.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a guy.
Right.
It's just some guy with some pepper spray that he found somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Calls himself security.
Plus, we're landing with really cool helicopters, letting troops out. I have a picture of a really good helicopter on my website today, tmlamedia.com, if you want to take a look.
Right.
So anyway, apparently they only have 50% of the country under control right now, which is not telling anybody. So that's good.
Okay.
So they're going to work on that.
Okay, well, have fun. Good luck with that.
Oh, listen to this. One of my favorite buildings in L.A. may be turned into condos. The Capitol Records Tower, which is an American landmark.
Wait, are we done with the Bushwatch?
No, we are, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's the president, resident, he's kind of in charge. We've got the whole country saying, that's my Bush.
Well, anyway, this historic Capitol Records Tower, which looks like a stack of records, one of the world's most recognizable buildings, could be sold to a developer who might convert it into condos.
Oh, that's a crime. Now, everybody knows this building because even if you've never been there, you've seen it in a million different movies. It's the... It's
crumbled in a lot of earthquake buildings.
And, I mean, that was the building Sinatra was based in for a long
time. Sure was.
And, yeah, it looks like a big stack of plates or a big stack of records or something. It's a very, very famous building.
Let's do the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch for Friday.
Well, Michael Jackson has closed down the house on his Neverland Ranch and has laid off many of his employees. It is public knowledge that Mr. Jackson currently resides in the Middle Eastern country of Bahrain, said a Jackson spokesman. He therefore decided to close his house and reduce his workforce. The action, which does leave parts of the estate still open, came a day after California state labor officials announced that Jackson had agreed to pay Neverland employees hundreds of thousands of dollars in back wages. Jackson agreed to settle the unpaid wage bill of $306,000 after being threatened with legal action, but was then fined for allowing employee insurance to lapse. A local veterinary surgeon has now put employees who took care of Jackson's menagerie on his payroll while security is being handled by the Jackson family themselves.
What could possibly go wrong? I don't understand. Well, it was Roop's contention, or his belief anyway, mm-hmm. that the Bahrain folks are going to kick Jackson out because he has no money to pay. I don't understand what he's paying anything with. Is he just riding this on one long, like, Amex?
He's a good friend of the prince.
Bahrain. You walk in and you got Emmanuel Lewis greased up in bed. That's going to go away. You can't. I mean, I think even in that part of the world, there's certain things that they're not going to tolerate. So God only knows. So the Neverland is closed, but the Jackson family's running it, or they're owning it.
Yeah. Well, the security guard outfits are on the way, and they're all going to dress up and man the gates.
Seriously, I'm telling you, man. I hope Root passes along my suggestion. Let that revert to the state. That's what that's all going to be about. I'm amazed the guy is still alive. I really am. Because
especially in the Middle East.
It does seem like Michael Jackson represents many things that our ethnic friends in the Middle East aren't necessarily big fans of. And he looks like that V from Vendetta guy, if you've taken a good look.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
That guy in the box. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He totally looks like that guy. He's got to burn easily at this point. I mean, you know, Jackson, I can't even imagine. He's got to be all burked up every time he walks outside. His sun hits that guy, he's just going to melt like the Wicked Witch of the West. It does seem like there's a finite number of places Michael Jackson's really going to be able to have some sort of long-term. You know what he's like? Michael Jackson is like that. He's like that creature that lives inside the War of the Worlds pod. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Once he's
yeah.
finally exposed to the air, like he only lives for like 10 seconds. I mean, so they're just going to have to find some formaldehyde-filled egg or something to put him inside of, because he can't. I don't know. I feel like he's got to be hooked up to life support to make it through the day. So I'll be stunned if he's alive within 5 years. I would have, but I mean, he's already proved me wrong, because I think we all had Jackson pegged as dead years ago. I mean, he's been on my Deadpool for years and years and years. So, all right. Is that our Jackson watch?
That is, yes.
All right. Well, there's your Jackson watch. Back after this with more of the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It is Friday. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Later on, Scott Daly from FilmFever.org is going to be here. We'll talk about the top five most influential metal albums of all time. We'll go through the news pile. We got a clown watch coming up. A letter sent to us from someone working inside Intercom Radio in Portland. We'll read that later on.
See, you gotta stop teasing
see,
that.
Part of me just likes saying that just to see you guys look up. And I can't see. And this is not like the setup over there where you guys can see my computer screen either, to the best of my knowledge.
I know, that was the best thing ever.
At Entercom, there was this whole thing at the other building.
It was kind of creepy, though, because you don't know who can see your screen.
It was totally creepy.
It was Orwellish.
The computer, I mean, and I assume the tech guys can read everything here, too, but they've always been able to do that. Like Aaron the Geek, he sells this great shirt on his site. He says, you know, my daddy reads your email. So they've always been able to, but there was this thing at Entercom where the computers were put together in clusters of four or five, depending on what station you worked for, and there was a little function you could press where it was meant to save time, I think, and to be expedient, to where any computer could use any other computer's monitor. And that's not a good way of saying it, but meaning at any monitor you could work on, you know, any one of five workstations. Blah, da, da, blah, da, da, blah. So, you know, so if like your tower, your computer hard drive is way over there, but you were sitting over here, you could still access it by doing the, you know.
These are all Stasi.
Yeah, but the upshot though was, is that if Sarah and I were in the room together and she was working on one computer and I was working on the other, I could totally switch my monitor and watch everything she was doing. And it was kind of creepy. And so they don't have that here to the best of my knowledge. So you all can't see, Tim and Sarah can't see this, so I'm able to continue, using this as a Rick Emerson guarantees. You know what else I need in addition to the Z sound? I gotta get the Z sound, and I gotta get like a copyright 2006 Rick Emerson Show. Like a, you know, for guarantees. Cause you know, it's just a matter of time before that turns up on the David Lee Roth Show or something. Where it will be hailed as groundbreaking genius. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from New York City. Edit this down. Our good friend Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio. How are you, sir?
Gary O'Baumgarten.
I'm sorry, Gary O'Baumgarten. Yes, what was I thinking? Was there like a memo that went out that everybody had to be like, you know, everybody had to like Pat O. St. Clair and, you know?
Yeah, well, this is about as, never mind. I was almost going to say something that was going to get us in trouble. Never mind.
Dude, stay away. What are they going to do? Fire me? I don't care. Go ahead.
You? I'm worried about me.
No, they're not going to fire you. You're an icon.
This is about as clever as we get at CNN Radio, but that's really not true.
Hey, no, it's okay. And I think in some weird incestuous way, we're all sort of owned by the same people now, aren't we?
I don't think so, are we?
Isn't CBS and Westwood and...
CBS is rumored to be trying to take over CNN.
We're distributed by Westwood.
Okay, so, but I thought that had happened. I thought there was some sort of discussion that had happened where there was some... well, whatever.
But everything's always for sale.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. In the end, Bill Gates is going to own us all. Bill Gates right. Or those Google guys. So, CNN is... You know, but the great thing about CNN is that you guys don't try to out-hip yourselves. You don't try to, you know what you do, you're good at it, you bring us the news as only you can. So, you know, I have no complaints, my friend. So have you been down on the streets with these idiots, these 2,000 or 2 million people or however many people it is in the cold?
Yeah. I'm out of voice here from shouting over them, trying to shout over them while asking them questions.
Don't these people have jobs?
One guy I interviewed, wouldn't give his name, and I said, oh, the boss might be listening. He says, it's not the boss I'm worried about.
Oh, I see.
I don't know.
It's the old lady.
Well, I didn't get that impression. I kind of got the loan shark thing was going.
It's the guy that is big is running with, yeah. So 2 million people. So I, forgive me. Call me uninteresting. But I'm not Irish. I don't plan to be Irish anytime soon. So I don't do anything for St. Patrick's Day. What is it exactly that happens at a St. Patrick's Day parade? Is it just do you just sit there and you watch guys pick fights with other guys much bigger than themselves?
No. I mean, there's some great units that were marching the parade. Some good bands and some good pipe and drum corps and stuff like that. But actually, to be perfectly frank with you, after you hear five or six of the same kind of music going by, you've had your fill.
Well, no.
Then you go to a pub and hear more of the same. I guess
that's really what it is. Let's just be honest. There's and I know that people would say this about some of the music that I choose to listen to, but I got to tell you this: there's many genres of music. There's just one Irish jig, okay? There's just one. It's like reggae. So there's one reggae song. There's one smooth jazz recording. There's one Irish jig, and it just gets recycled over and over and over again. And there's only so many times you can hear Danny Boy before you just want to go hang yourself.
The unicorn song.
The good thing about it all is that people who go out and celebrate on St. Patrick's Day have a good time, and they're fun to be around, unless, of course, they get overly indulged and start the fisticuffs.
Yeah, what are the odds of that? That seems like it's not going to happen at all.
I was out there early enough that it hadn't happened yet.
Tim Riley pointed out that there's that unicorn song, too.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
And long neck geese.
I always thought it was long neck geese. And all that stuff.
Yeah, I think I used to hear that on the Demento show. He would, roll that out every now and again. So that and... That's it. Those are the only two I can think of. So now, are you when you're down there? Do they encourage you to imbibe and become one of the people to add more weight to your reporting, or do you have to stay sober and above it all?
I stay sober because you have to keep all your faculties among you when you're dealing with people who maybe aren't as sober and not thinking too clearly. So
you're going to get some guy in a plastic hat grabbing the microphone from you. And
oh, I had my microphone grabbed.
Yes. It was grabbed.
If guys think, when they're drunk that they have to grab the microphone and lean into it and, they're interviewing themselves, but it comes with the territory.
Do you ever interview those guys that they don't understand the concept that the microphone amplifies their voice?
They
feel like everything's got to be put into it at like 150 decibels?
Right. Well, that's pretty much what you're dealing with out there. But yeah. Not everybody was like that. To be honest and fair and balanced, as somebody else would say they are. There were a lot of nice, there was families there and police officers, retired police officers and military folks. And the band was led by the parade was led by the 69th Infantry Battalion from the New York National Guard, just back from Iraq. And, what's really interesting about that is, as you can imagine, in New York City, there's pretty widespread lack of support for this war effort, but not it wasn't like Vietnam. It's not like Vietnam where they were spitting on the troops. People really appreciate what the troops are doing, and you could see these guys beaming as they were getting applauded as they were coming up Fifth Avenue. That was kind of nice.
This is a side issue. You kind of brought this up. I have a dumb question. We were talking about this, about Iraq today, and I know we're coming up on the third anniversary when the war started, right?
Yeah, Monday, right.
And so my question is, and I know that I should know the answer to this, like so many other things, but who is running Iraq? I mean, is anyone...
That's a good question. I don't think anybody's really running Iraq, and that's the problem, you know. There's this interim government, but they certainly aren't in control. And, you know, the situation isn't very stable right now, and it's, you know, the military says it's not a civil war, but there's certainly violence between the Sunnis and the Shiites, so... they need to get a handle on all that. On the other hand, I had a chance to talk to some of the guys back from Iraq, and they say, you know, you guys aren't getting the full picture. There's a lot of good things going on in Iraq. Rebuilding of the infrastructure, winning the hearts and minds of the populace, and that kind of stuff, because that was the mission of this particular infantry battalion, although they did see action, and they did suffer casualties, unfortunately. Their main mission was to take an area of Iraq and pacify it, not just through the gun, but through meeting with people and getting to know them and letting them get to know the Americans and rebuilding the infrastructure and helping the people. And they were very frustrated that they believe, from their perspective, we in the news media are not telling the full story.
Well, I'm sure that we'll be talking about this more on Monday when the third anniversary rolls around. So you go find some hot tea and lemon or something for
your
voice, my friend.
You can hear it in my voice, can't you? I'm kind of starting to lose it.
You know, the best thing about doing an event with 2 million people like that is afterwards when you go lock yourself in a dark, quiet room for like an hour and don't listen to anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Gary Baumgarten.
Have
a good weekend, man. There you go. Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio, New York City. Here's Tim Riley.
I wonder who sends out the unemployment checks in Iraq.
I don't know. I have nothing.
Maybe we're not handing out enough Hershey bars over there.
Maybe if they put up more of those like mission statement posters, like they have in all the radio station where it's like a picture of a golf, like, you know, like a pond, and it says teamwork. You know, or something, or just, where it's a picture of something that has nothing to do with what the thing you're talking about. Like, what's it? What's a picture of a pine tree and, like, a squirrel? And then below it says, you know, like, perseverance. And then there's some Jack Handy quote or something there.
Things are getting better.
Or just, you know what would help the people in Iraq? Just put up a lot of those encouraging posters they used to have in my guidance counselor's office. Where it's like a chimpanzee holding onto a branch, and it's all like, you know, I hate Mondays, or, you know, or...
Get higher on sports.
or like a dog with a rumpled ear, and it's, you know, and it says, you know, like, you know, I can, is it Friday yet, or something. So there, here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Darwin Watch.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Soldiers in the Telemark Battalion are dead after attempting to drive their 26-ton tank across ice-covered surfaces during a military exercise called Cold Response.
Okay.
Four men were involved in an incident. The tank went through the ice.
No!
The circumstances are being investigated.
I can't...
The goal was to train Norwegian troops and cooperating nations to operate in conflict regions during winter conditions. Since 1990, 40 people have lost their lives in such training activities in Norway.
They can't figure out the weak spot of the strategy. They can't quite identify the flaw. How heavy was the tank?
26 tons.
A ton is... Wait, hold on. Where's my calculator? Hold on. No, I have to figure this out. Oh, all right. Hold on. Just, I've got a computer.
But, you know, they must have succeeded a few times because since 1990, only 40 people have been killed doing this.
No, it's trending down. Here we go. Calculator. Okay, so the tank is 27 tons?
26.
26 times 2,000. Okay, that's 52, that's 52,000 pounds. Now, I don't know a whole lot about ice, but it does seem like perhaps any plan that calls for a 52,000-pound chunk of metal to be rolling across frozen water is probably ill-conceived. And I believe that the...
Especially in this age of global warming.
I believe the death rates bear me out on this. So, there you go. And it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't help any... Where was this? Norway?
Norway.
It doesn't help, by the way, that all the Norwegian language sounds like guys drowning anyway. It's all a lot of... You know, and so it's like, who can tell who's drowning and who's just ordering lunch? All right, there's your... Bada-bing! There's your Darwin Watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Don't! Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
Hey!
And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey!
Excellent. Here's Tim Riley.
A $59 million jail featuring art and flat-screen TVs in Portland has been sitting unused for more than a year because the city can't afford to open it. The Wapato facility took 2 years to build and can house 525 inmates at a cost of $20 million per year.
Wait, hold on. Where is this?
Right here, in Portland.
Is this a super prison?
Yes, it is. It's the prison of tomorrow. The county spent more than $600,000 on art for the jail, including a sculpture out front by a circular driveway. There are 30-foot vaulted ceilings and, something you don't find in prison, private showers.
It's fantastic. And it's got a chimp hanging from a branch, probably. Mm-hmm. So this is where, when they say in Portland...
I guess it's in North Portland.
Well, you know.
Meanwhile, a shortage of jail beds has forced police around the city to systematically reduce hardened criminals into neighborhoods.
Well, that's good. And let's not pretend we don't know what neighborhood those are going into, by the way, says Rick, whose car was recently broken into. The prison holds how many?
525. At a cost of $20 million per year.
I'm sensing a venue for our next listener party right there.
Oh, that'd be fun.
We go to the jet. You load up. You party.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the jail. Everybody's got a cell there in case they get there's a ruckus of any kind.
Now, I think they film movies here. Prison movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I got a list. Somebody sent me this great list. We might talk about this with Scott Daly. Some list of the 20 best prison films of all time. I don't know for what reason they compiled the list.
I think somebody came out with a new book on that.
Whatever. But there's some prison movie list. So that's genius. All right. Okay.
Westland High School student Brandon Flight, we talked about him the other day, told the world on his website that he was expelled after... leaving a homosexual snuggle scene in a class film project. Turns out it wasn't true, and now the teen is in real trouble when school officials, and because of the resulting turmoil surrounding his claim. He has disrupted the school. This is clearly a behavior we don't find acceptable, said West Lynn Wilsonville Superintendent Roger Wall. The school forwarded to police emails threatening to burn down the school and other claims of physical threats. It started with an English assignment to film a tragedy. Flight created Brokeback High, which told the story of a secretly gay high school athlete forced to live a life everyone expected him despite being alive. After meeting an openly gay student, he eventually admits his homosexuality. This is the plot, apparently. The two ended up in bed together, shirtless and snuggling. Flight, who is a heterosexual, played the part of the athlete.
So I don't know. What is it they're claiming that he made up?
Apparently he made up the story.
He made up the story about being kicked out.
Yeah.
He was really kicked out because he wanted to burn down the school.
He might have been. We don't know. Allegedly.
Yeah, we all know that kid.
There are certain allegations.
Allegedly. I'm not saying he's really a paint-sniffing ne'er-do-well, but everybody went to school with that kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's, you know, everybody went to school with a kid just like him who's going to end up doing time for auto theft someday. So, I mean, you know, whatever. The rancid cream sinks, my friend.
More from the Blackboard Jungle. A Queens, New York high school gym teacher has been accused of threatening two female students with a knife after they refused to take part in exercise. The teacher is accused of putting a kitchen knife to the forearms of two teenage girls at a high school. Police say neither girl was hurt. One of the girls say the teacher put the dull side of the knife to her arm and then held it flat.
There's nobody crazy like a gym teacher's crazy, by the way. Gym teachers are always the nuttiest, most bizarre teachers at any high school. They're always fat. They're always out of shape. They're always antisocial. Gym teachers hate everybody because they're all failed athletes, and everyone knows this. When I was in high school, my gym teacher, it was exactly like that scene in, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where the kids are having to do laps, and the teacher's following them in a golf cart. Is that Ferris Bueller's Day Off that I'm thinking of?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Well, there's some film.
Doesn't sound familiar to me.
I think it is, though, because I think it's like where they're at the Cubs game and Sloan is all like, you know, what are the kids at school doing now? And then they got to the kids like running, and there's like gym teacher like whooping on him with a whip, you know. And but I totally had a gym teacher who did it. It wasn't a golf cart. It was like a lawn tending, car or whatever. But we would run, and he was huge. He looked like a jelly apple on a stick. He was massive. It was a little tiny stick legs, and then like a huge round body.
No neck.
No, he looked like one of those. One of those lollipops they used to sell that looked like a huge lifesaver. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
You remember those? That's exactly what he looked like. Little tiny bird legs, big ass, round, bulbous body. And he would drive. We would be running on the grass, and he would drive behind us in a golf cart, like yelling at us to run faster. So gym teachers are all nutty. There's no getting away from it.
This teacher was charged with menacing, criminal possession of a weapon, endangering the welfare of a child, and harassment. He's being held pending arraignment.
Excellent.
Doesn't say where. Maybe in an underground dungeon.
I'll be at the jail of tomorrow today.
Mothers may soon legally breastfeed their babies any way they want.
Attention, Sarah Dillon.
This is in Kentucky, of all places. One of those states nobody ever talks about.
No.
The House of Representatives of that state approved a measure yesterday that affirms a mother's right to breastfeed in public. The proposal has already won unanimous approval in the Senate, and an aide to Governor Ernie Fletcher said yesterday the governor will sign it. It honors motherhood, said Representative Tom Burch of Louisville, who presented the bill in the House. A proposed amendment would have excused breastfeeding mothers from jury duty. It was ruled not germane by a House Speaker and was not allowed to be considered.
Kentucky, you don't ever hear about Kentucky. You never hear about Rhode Island, Delaware.
Or Rhode Island's too small.
You know, sometimes I don't even know if Delaware's a state. Sometimes I'll hear people, do you do this where it's like sometimes people bring something up in conversation and you should know, but you don't. Some people go, well, you know, officials in Delaware. And in my head, like I'm thinking, Delaware is a state? No, it's not a state. You never hear anything about
it. It's one of those East Coast drive-through states on the way to something else.
It's right next to something. No, it's got to be a state. No, in Wayne's World, they say, hi, we're in Delaware. That could be a city. What's from Delaware? I don't know. I like cheese. And I just, all of these, because I can never remember it. So...
It's like, order your Nebraska Adventure package today.
You'll love our new Spark. The only thing I know about Kentucky is that's where the Dukes of Hazzard was set. So there you go.
Horse race down there, Kentucky Derby.
Oh, they have the Kentucky
and,
Derbies.
And the grass is rumored to be blue, but nobody's ever been there to check it out.
Bada bing, bada bing, bada boom. All right.
Are we done with this breastfeeding story?
I believe we are. Let's move on. Let's answer this. Hi there, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Rick, this is Luke calling from Australia.
Is this the actual Luke?
Yeah, man.
You're not some guy who's been reading my blog and you're pretending to be Luke.
Nah, I couldn't be bothered. I wouldn't waste my time.
All right. So now...
You remember that Brad guy who emailed you a while ago?
I do. Okay, now for those who think that we're doing a gag or a wind-up, as they say in some parts of the world, if you follow my blog, everybody, there was this incident a while back, Luke, tell me if I've got this story right, where... You, Luke, in Australia, and where in Australia are you?
I'm in a little city called Perth, which is on the west coast.
I know where Perth is. So you're Perth. I say as though I'm an expert in Australian things.
Of course.
So you are in Perth, and so a fellow Australian named Brad.
Yeah. Who's a hack? I've got to say.
Who's what?
He's a hack, man.
He's
saying, like, you know, he listens to the show, but he don't listen to the show.
Did he tell you about the show? Is that how you discovered it?
No, I told him about the show, and he's like, listen to the show like twice.
Oh, I see. So he's only fronting. He's only representing to be a real listener, but he's really not.
Yeah, pretty much. And now, can you hear him passed out on the floor? Listen to this. Okay, he's not snoring now, but he's snoring on the floor. Okay?
Wait, so Brad is at your house?
Yeah, he's at my house.
I thought Brad was just some other guy in Australia somewhere, but Brad's actually in your house.
Yeah, he's in my house. I know him, and he's a good guy, but, you know, like, you know, I don't
so
even know
strange.
Why I'm calling.
Are you drunk? That might explain it.
Pretty much, yeah. I check my breath a lot. Hang on.
Okay.
I take my breath, Eliza thingy-jiggy. I'm at about 0.40, but it's good times.
Excellent. Excellent. So now, Luke, now this is about, I don't know, 3-4 months ago you discovered the show? 6 months ago? How long ago?
No, I emailed you, man. I'm like, I discovered your show in, I don't know, 2001.
Oh, okay. See, I...
Well, it was syndicated.
It's all blurring together. It's all... See, I'm drunk, really, which is why the... So
you're drunk too.
And so you have been listening online for like 5 years, and then it was Brad who claimed to be a listener, and now we know that that was a ruse. Brad who was listening to the best ofs when I was off the air.
Well, yeah, I mean he's been listening a little bit, but yeah. He's like he. This is the thing. He emails in and steals the glory.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's well screw him. He's dead to me.
He's dead to me too.
We're gonna
look. He's dead on the freaking floor next to me, man.
Excellent. So Sarah X Dillon, my producer, wants to know if you're hot. What? Let me ask you this: what celebrity would you say you most resemble, Luke, in Australia?
That's a good question. The only guy I can think of is a cricketer.
Okay.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't know him.
No, I. Wait, no, well, no, but
I can send you. I can send Sarah a picture if she wants to know.
Okay, but wait, hold on.
Sure.
Now he's a cricketer. He plays cricket. Now hold on. Tell me if this is correct. Tell me if I could pass as a guy who knows about cricket.
Sure.
Is he a batsman who catches a humble snorter? Does that sound correct?
No way. He's a bowler.
A bowler. God,
yeah, who the hell knows what a bowler is anyway?
I don't know. I didn't know anything. All right. So what time is it in Australia and what day is it?
Yeah, well, it's 4:52. Hang on. Let me check. What freaking day is it? It's a Saturday. Saturday morning, 4 a.m. in the freaking morning.
What are you doing up at 4? Should you be sleeping it off? What are you doing up at 4 in the morning?
I'm listening to you.
God bless you.
See, oh, hey, Brad's just recovered for a second.
All right, God bless you. Hey, so I'll tell you what, I'm gonna put you on hold.
Yes.
And can you leave, I know you got one of those weird 40-digit numbers with a 0 and a 1 and whatever. Can you leave, like, your number or your email or address, whatever, with Sarah?
You betcha.
All right, Luke, I'm going to put you on hold. You call us anytime, mate.
I will do. And you know what? I'm so surprised. Can I just say, first of all, hello to Tim Riley. He is the freaking man. I've been listening to his newscast, and it's just fantastic. And I'm so surprised that I got straight through to you.
Dude, it's like, yep, we're here, magic. Man. We're here.
Is there
and
nothing
it's,
else?
Well, no, because we got this phone line system that just got set up, and so we've only got, I think, what they said within 10 days... The rest of our phone bank will be set up. And so right now we're dealing with a partial phone bank and we have no call screener. So what happens is Sarah, who is running the show, is not always able to screen the calls. And so people will call in and they'll either ring or they'll get put on hold, not know they've been screened and drop off. So the phones are really busy, but the turnover rate is really high. So the odds of getting through at any given moment are, I mean, they're like 50-50. So they're pretty good right now. So, all right, I'm going to put...
And can I just say as well, I am all for being your CNN correspondent from Australia.
Really? Can we call you for Australian news?
Seriously, as long as my parents aren't awake, I will do it.
I think the water drains counterclockwise there.
That's an urban legend. Hey, how old are you, Luke?
I am... what's the date? I'm 25 in April.
Excellent. Well, all right, Luke, I'm going to put you on hold. Sarah will talk to you and probably try to get some personal information out of you, and then we'll talk to you again soon.
God bless you, man.
Luke, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. There you go. That's Luke. All right, we're going to break.
That's an interesting country anyway, because they have to keep a fence to keep the wild dingoes from tearing apart humans down there.
For eating their babies. Mm-hmm. We should ask him if he's known any babies eaten by dingoes.
Because there are always people trying to tear holes in that dingo fence for their own selfish means. I saw it on the Discovery Channel during periods of unemployment. I was watching the dingo special.
We'll be back after this show. That's a coin. 503-733-2970. That's the number of the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Here in the beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Scott Daly coming up later on from filmfever.org. We're going to be counting down the top 5 metal albums of all time as well. In just a minute, we'll update the Rick Emerson fact. Do you say, now, Sarah, did Luke, if you just missed it now, Luke, who is an Australian listener of ours, and unless I don't want anybody to think we were doing some zany DJ bit or whatever, we were having some guy call up and go, hey, ahoy, mate, or whatever. Luke has been, I just had to make sure it was really him, because Luke's been emailing me for a long time. He lives in Perth, Australia.
His phone number has about 16 digits.
Totally. And he's a listener of ours, and he called up just now. Now, during our hiatus, when we were off the air, he called and said, I've turned my friend Brad onto the show, or whatever, however they talk there. And Brad was just passed out on his floor. So did you talk to him off the air?
I did.
Did he hit on you? Was he drunk?
No, he was just drunkenly complaining that he didn't get an iPod for Christmas.
Okay, well, sorry, Luke. That's not my fault.
It was it was weird.
I'll get right on that, Australian guy. All right, so there you go. All right, let's see. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hello?
Hi, Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hey, this is Brian. How you doing today?
Brian, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you, me too.
Hey, I was just curious. You ever think about having a listener party June 6th?
I'm sorry, did I what?
Would you think about having a listener party June 6th?
I mean, was that like the day before you go to prison or something? What? Why?
Well, the date would be 666. I think you would like that.
666. Actually, we've been talking about doing, Joni and I have been talking about doing like a bigger than Jesus thing on 666. And I don't know what it would be. I'm not sure exactly what the nature of the event would be. But yeah, it has not escaped our notice that June 6th of this year is 6606. And yeah, I'll be doing something. I don't know if it's here or bigger than Jesus or whatever, but I'll be doing something on that date with something or other. Yeah, you can bet your bottom dollar on that, my friend.
Welcome back to Portland. I'm glad to hear you on the radio again.
Are you spreading the word, Brian?
Oh, hell yes.
When's the last time you spread the word?
Let's see. A few minutes ago to my new partner at work. I said, you got to listen. So hopefully he is.
Where are you now? Are you in your car?
I'm actually in my truck, and I'm on I-5 in traffic.
I wonder if we'll beat the horn for
us. Is there anyone next to you?
Not at the moment, but somebody might be coming up here soon.
All right, because I would have you just roll down the window and just randomly yell the station frequency at them.
Well, right now there's nobody beside me. I'll do it even if I'm not on the air.
All right, but thank you, sir. You spread the word. You call us anytime.
Hey, you take care.
Thank you, Brad.
Bye.
All right, there you go. You know, as much as we like to think that everybody, as I've said in the past, goes to the website every single day and checks every single radio, like in my world. In the world of inside Rick Emerson's head, every listener out there spent the last 11 months turning on the radio and spending all day from like 9 until 6 scanning up and down the dial on both bands looking for the show, right? That's like in my head, that's what every listener did. They quit their jobs, they left their families, they moved to a cave somewhere with radios, and they spent all day scanning the dial. I know he's here somewhere. I'll find him. You know, up and down the dial looking, but they don't. And so every day we hear from people are just, I just found out you're back, right? And it's like we like to think that everybody was here Monday at noon. But every single day we hear from people that just sort of have been made aware of it. So it is important that you tell the Rick Emerson fan in your life that the show is back noon to 3 right here on Johnson 970 AM. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley.
Off the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Okay, I don't know what's going on here, but there's been another shooting at Denny's. This is the third fatal shooting at a Southern California Denny's. Let's speak with Sergeant Rick Martinez, who tells us more. Sergeant, is this true?
Wait, hold on. He's any minute now.
Sergeant?
He's in an outbuilding. Hold on. I got to...
He's helping the police in South Carolina.
Certainly a terrible coincidence for the restaurant chain, but in this case, the emphasis that we're looking at is the fight between two separate groups.
Maybe they should make their portions larger. This wouldn't happen.
That could be. It occurred in Anaheim, of all places.
Anaheim.
Usually a crime-free district.
I thought Anaheim was like a Stepford. Nothing bad ever happened.
Oh, but there must have been some sports fans involved because it says next to the Anaheim Stadium and the Los Angeles Angels. How do they call them the Los Angeles Angels when they're in Anaheim?
Who knows?
Not even the same county.
Here we go. Here's sick.
There was a fight that broke out inside the restaurant. It went to the parking lot where a shooting took place.
So they're in a Denny's. How lame and white could you be? You're in a Denny's in Anaheim fighting about a baseball game, and then you take it outside. You know, before you take it outside, don't you think that, let's just comment, there used to be a code of honor among men. Before you take it outside, one guy just says to the other guy, look, I got a gun, and you're going to lose this. So I there used to be some sort of code of ethics there, where if two guys were fighting and one guy had a piece, like you would just tell the other guy that, save us all a lot of trouble so the Denny's isn't closed for a day and a half.
But I think Dick Cheney lowered the bar in that department.
Seriously.
Sergeant Martinez, you have any eyewitnesses who might have been in Denny's at the time who'd like to speak to about this crime?
Our detectives are working to interview many witnesses which were inside the restaurant and others that were in the parking lot.
It's hard to find them, though, because they're busy taking long naps, and even then they can't find their teeth half the time. So what are you going to do?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, at long last, you waited 11 months for this. Time for the Clown Watch.
Here's your Rick Emerson Clown Watch. All right.
This comes to us once again from California, where all good things come from.
California is the font of all fantastic news this week.
It is. Because no matter who you murdered, you can make a fresh start of it in California.
California really is sort of a morality car wash, you know, like Vegas used to be. You go there, all things become clean.
Yep.
Yeah.
This comes to us from San Diego. Police are searching for professional clowns suspected of kidnapping a 14-year-old girl in North County.
That's got to be unnerving. Clown coming in your window, knife in his teeth.
Francisco Villegas, who's 38, worked at a clown at the Escondido swap meet. Police believe...
The Escondido swap... He's a swap meet clown.
Well, that's on the way to bigger and better things.
I want to form a band called Swap Meet Clowns.
Police believe he ran off with a girl who they say is pregnant with his child.
Impregnated by a swap meet clown. That's coming to Lifetime. That'll be right between I Posed for Playboy and Not Without My Daughter. I was impregnated by a swap meet clown.
According to investigators, Villegas wrote love letters saying he wanted to marry the girl in Mexico.
Did the love letters have a lot of honking in them? I'm sorry. See, if I had a honking... That's why I didn't get the Adam Carolla slot. Reason number 740. If I had a honking sound effect here, it would be, what did the clown's love letter sound like? Here, I'll read one to you. And there would be a lot of honk, honk, honk. See how funny
would be? I see what you're talking about.
It's an oral joke.
Yeah.
It's a sound-based joke. Yeah, I'm sorry.
She is 14 and a half, which in Mexico, with parental consent, would be okay. They would be able to marry.
Or in Texas, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Or Utah.
The pair could be in Mexico. They may be traveling in a gray early 90s Mazda with California plates.
They may be traveling in a Volkswagen packed with 50 other stolen brides.
Authorities believe Villegas may be plying his clown trade along the way to pay for travel expenses.
Plying his clown
trade?
Does plying his clown trade sound like an obscure sexual act that somebody from the Muddy River Nightmare Band would tell you about?
So, anyone who sees an adult clown traveling with a pregnant girl is urged to call the San Diego County Sheriff's Department.
I'm still back on plying his clown trade. And the next thing, because that's one of those like, well, he gave me a drink at the bar and I started feeling a little lightheaded. The next thing I knew, I was on my back in the office and he was on top of me plying his clown trade. Okay, there's your clown watch. It warms my heart. Good times. Let's do one more here and then we'll do the fact.
All right. Former Guns N' Roses guitarist Gilby Clark is also on board for the newly formed Supanova. Over the past few weeks, hundreds of undiscovered singers have been blindly auditioning for the second season of CBS's Rockstar.
Oh, God.
Not knowing which band they'd be asked to perform in front of.
Why doesn't Gilby Clark get to call himself a member? That's like those 80 different guys who get to call themselves members of KISS. Mm-hmm. Like that Mark St. John guy who was a member of KISS for like a day. He's like that Pope that was, you know, there was that guy in the Pope John Paul I, he's Pope for like an hour. Gilby Clark, who was a member of Guns N' Roses for, what, not even an album. He didn't even record, but he toured with them like for once for like an hour. And then now he's, and what is this? Did anybody watch the first season of Rockstar?
No.
Anyone?
No.
No. And it was what? It was NXS, right?
Yep.
Or Inks. As some DJs in the 80s used to mistakenly call them. Yeah.
Including me.
Sorry.
The show's first season featured the surviving members of Inks. Fortune was picked to replace the late Michael Hutchence, and the revived outfit released Switch in November. I have no idea what I'm reading. To date, the album has sold close to 308,000 copies.
This just in, I have no idea what this copy is.
But I just keep on going till the... Next news when it happens.
Oh, good times. All right. Are we breaking?
No.
Just heard Dio.
Oh, I guess she thought she was listening alone.
Were you just listening to Dio to amuse yourself?
It just seemed like the end of a segment.
Oh.
It just felt like one. There was a big chortle there. I kind of felt like it was over.
You were taking over comedically.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I think we peaked right there.
You were stepping in with the punchline.
And now on with the show.
Adam Carolla doesn't make these mistakes. Coming up next, Sarah Silverman again. Anyway. So, yeah.
Well, that's it for me for now.
Now
back to you.
Just play the Dio and let's not go to break.
Oh, well, I just stopped it.
Can you play it again?
I don't know.
Let me see this machine.
No. You hang on.
All right.
All right.
We'll get it done.
There's a little view behind the curtain.
Oh, no. It just rotated because now the cart's working.
Now I have no Dio and we've blown like 2 minutes talking about a joke that didn't work.
Oh, well.
CBS Radio.
No, the other show.
CBS Radio doesn't. No, it's not the same. No, don't worry about it. It's not as funny as Dio. Really, nothing was funnier than Holy Diver. All right. Let's stop for a second.
And catch our breath.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So there you go. We'll get back with more Tim at the bottom of the. Your instincts were correct there, though, Sarah. Scott Daly's coming up later on. Let's see. Later on in the show, we'll do top five most influential metal albums of all time. Here in just a second, we'll talk about the fact. I got a picture of Luke the Australian, though. You want to see it?
Sure.
Let's see. He's. I'll turn this around. He kind of looks like a masculine Will Wheaton. So there's Luke the Australian. Is he attractive or not?
Well, he's listening. I can't be mean.
He's not listening now. Well, he might be.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
He's okay.
All right. He's okay. Listen, that's like telling him, well, she's handsome. She's a stout, handsome woman.
She's acceptable.
All right. She'll do. All right, Luke, he's in Australia. It's not like you're going to get the chance one way or the other, probably.
Exactly.
So we should fly him here for one of the listener parties, though. It's like that we did the listener party wherever, that casino that we'll never name again or go to or spend any money at or promote.
Mm-hmm.
The one run by the Nazis.
Yes, Tim, the one run by Nazis.
And the troll woman.
The one run by Nazis.
You cannot use the restroom. That was funny. No, we really mean it. You may not use the restroom.
Well, there was some couple that flew from Tahoe. For our very first listener party. I forget their name. They were like some swinger couple.
I remember that.
Yeah, so... Well, anyway. Rick and Sarah, welcome back to the... this is... Okay, I'm gonna... This is the letter from inside Entercom.
Oh, okay, gather
that I'm gonna read.
Do we get to see who it's from and not say it?
Well,
gather on the
I'll tell you guys off the air, and I hate to do that. I hate that when I'm listening to a show... Or when you're watching a talk show, and it's that horrible thing like, I was just in the bathroom, and I can't tell you who it is, but I was shooting heroin with a star. You'd all know who I'm talking about, but I can't tell you. And I hate it.
Would the listeners know
The listeners might know who I'm talking about. I can't guarantee, but they might know.
Okay.
So I can't say who this is from, and
it matters not to me.
I don't want
to
give it away. I'll tell you guys off the air. Okay. It doesn't really matter.
No.
But here's what we'll do. We'll read this email, then we'll update the Rick Emerson fact, then we'll do the top five, then we'll Scott Daly. This email says... I'm going to read this slowly so I make sure I don't give anything away. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Portland, where you belong. People with a passion for the medium who have great talent, as both of you do, should not have been gone for 11 months, but hopefully the wait was worth it. I am glad the evil corporate empire known as your former employer, and then he notes, I am not using their email system, Rick, don't suck the life out of you, as it has with many of us still there.
Oh,
continue the work, have fun, and then it's signed with the person's name. So I've already closed it. I'm sorry.
I saw it.
All right. Well, you want to turn off?
Okay, yeah.
Turn off the microphones. Okay. Now are they all off? Okay. My mic was still on the air. Okay, turn it off or just. That's who it was.
Okay. I like it.
Did you intentionally leave my mic on just there, as though it was gonna go there?
No.
All right. Anyway, so there you go. Rick, let's make Luke the official AC/DC correspondent. Don't forget, Angus Young is 51, March 30th. Kick ass, this email says. That's not a bad idea. There's got to be Australian news that happens somewhere. Rick, outbuildings, this is from way back, are a reference to all buildings in a lot that are not main residents, like a root cellar. Sincerely, Mike and Gaston. I have no idea where Gaston is. All right. So.
It's past Hillsboro.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No one goes there.
On the way to Yamhill.
Don't plan on going there.
It's where alien abductions take place. Okay. It looks that way anyway.
Rick, did I hear the guy in Australia? You're right. He blew a 4.0 on the breath meter and is still talking. If he keeps that up, he won't reach birthday 25 next month, and your Down Under fan base will be half. At least his parents would have found a way to get him to move out. What is he still doing living with his parents? He's 25. Are the rules different in Australia? Does that mean he's only 17 in our years or something? Maybe Sarah can save him maybe Sarah can save him and film the Aussie version of Failure to Launch. There you go. That's Jeff and Lucas with him. All right, there you go. All right. So the Rick Emerson fact, which is a thing we've been talking about all week, but we got to get it done. And the fact, of course, is the frequently asked questions. You go to rickemerson.com, which I urge you to do, by the way, because it's looking fantastic. Our good friend Joni DeRoche redid it. It's a great webpage, looking better than ever before. And so there's the fact. Let me go there right now.
All right, let's do that.
Let's all go there together, shall we? It's like a picture page.
Do we have any musical interlude music?
No, okay. We don't need it because we got a broadband connection here.
Oh, so it should be fairly rapid.
And here we go, and
voila!
It's not happening.
Coming up. It's not happening.
Okay, there we go. Slowly.
Not
welcome to the world of 28-8.
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go. Clicking into the fact.
Oh, there it is.
All right, so here's the Rick Emerson fact now. If you go to rickemerson.com, here are the frequently asked questions on the webpage. Who are your biggest influences? And then I answer. How did you get into radio? I answer. How long have you been working with Clyde Lewis? Did you know you look just like Richard Belzer? Did you ever go by another name? Why? Did you ever have a cheesy radio voice? Why? What's the story with the syndicated show? Why did it go off the air? Will the show be national again? And why do you always refer to the year as the year of our Lord? That's it. So that answers a lot of things. There's a whole lot of ground covered by those, whatever, that like eight questions. There's a whole lot of things not answered. A whole lot of big questions that we haven't answered there. And things you all in the audience may want to know about. That maybe have to do with our last gig, or the getting fired, or the coming back, or where are certain people who used to be in the show, and, or what is a certain, I know that this show, like many others, has a lot of, there's a lot of lingo, there's some phrases, some lexicology, which is a word I'm making up, that you, the things that you may hear on this program, and the little words that you don't know the meaning of, or that it takes you a while to catch on to what we are referring to. So if you have any questions like that, this now is the time to ask them. And so you can ask them either via email, and it's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com, or you can ask them via the phone, which is 503-733-2970, and that's on the website as well, the phone number, 503-733-2970. So if you have any of those questions, the time is now to either email them in. And when I say now, I mean like a figurative now. Like, you know, now is the time for all good men to... I mean like now. So email them now and or call now. And when we come back from the break, we will move through the emails and the calls, and we will answer any frequently asked questions. And this is a tool, by the way, because we will keep a list of these questions, and we will add them to the website so that we don't have to answer them ad infinitum in the future. So you're going to call in. Sarah's going to answer. She'll put you on hold. We are operating right now because the studio is still not... They haven't even finished building the studio yet, and God bless them.
Fantastic. We're sitting on a big barrel of nails.
Fantastic engineers.
Yep.
But they're just, you know, they haven't had a lot of time, and, you know, everybody's kind of working under the gun, out on the run. The bad situation and a sticky reputation. Everybody's doing their best they can. So we're operating at like half our phone lines now. So if it's busy or if it takes a while to get through, you got to be patient. And when we come back, we will begin answering these frequently asked questions. Don't go anywhere. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. Part of the CBS Radio family. I'm Johnson. I'm 970. Sit down.